Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready.
Ready.
Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short
the
routes.
Boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception, Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you. You're listening to Reception, Perception, the show. All right, we had an absolutely madhouse week last week in regards to free agency. As a matter of fact, it was so crazy. We didn't even get to some of these signings here in trades in our first show earlier in the week. Matt Harmon, how you doing, pal? I know you're recovering after just what was an absolute bonkers week last week.
Hell yeah. But... loving it, you know.
This is great.
I'm having a blast. This is great, so and the craziness of the offseason hasn't even really begun because you know the draft is right around the corner.
True.
Man, the free agency, early wave of free agency, definitely gave us a lot to talk about.
Is this the most fun offseason that you can remember? Because it's not. I mean, we talk about wide receivers, but all the running back maneuvering, the quarterback. Who's seen this many quarterback trades? It's so crazy, man. But just this has got to be the most fun offseason that I can ever remember in NFL history.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny stuff going on too. I mean, the Kenny Pickett trade, the whole Kenny Pickett saga out of Pittsburgh is funny.
Justin Fields, Mac Jones. Oh, it's
Sam Howell getting traded. You know, I mean, it's just like it's been Drew Lockett signing with the Giants and then has to immediately say, like, I know this is Daniel Jones's team. Don't worry. All right. Well, we'll see about that. So, definitely, I think we're in for a treat with the draft around the corner as well. I think the craziness is only going to increase.
One of the teams that desperately needed outside wide receiver help was clearly Kansas City. They're moving on from MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. They go and sign Hollywood Marquise Brown, a one-year deal for $7 million. I mean, golly, what a great deal for Kansas City to go sign Hollywood Brown on a freaking one-year deal. I'll ask you this straight up. Is this a big upgrade over MVS or no?
I mean, I just think it's a big upgrade to any of their outside receivers, any of their non-Rashee Rice receivers, because that room was a disaster
last
season. So, yeah, we talked about, you know, Marquise Brown and some of the pros and cons of his game a few episodes ago. So, I mean, yeah, definitely, you know, there are some kind of, okay, like what's the upside here? Where exactly is he as a player? All that type of stuff. Totally get that. But he's a quality starting NFL receiver. And he has clear strengths to his game, even if there are clear weaknesses. Like we talked about in an injury season last year, you know, he wasn't good against man press coverage. Well, he's never been that good against man press coverage, but he still was 51st percentile against zone coverage, and that was a career low for him, again, I think because of injuries. This is a guy previous to that who'd been over 80% success rate versus zone in every single season that he played. Like, he's one of the most solid zone beaters out there, and that actually is pretty important, you know, for the Kansas City Chiefs, because teams don't want to play man coverage against them necessarily. They want to play some more of that zone coverage. So the fact that, you know, Kansas City even has it's more important, I think, for them to have a zone beating receiver like that. So when they go into man coverage situations, definitely I think they probably still need another option to go with Rashee Rice and Marquise Brown, but definitely a big upgrade there, especially like the routes that Marquise Brown runs really well. You know, I mean, dig routes, out routes, post routes. That's pretty important in that intermediate and deep area for Marquise Brown and Patrick Mahomes to have.
It is kind of interesting, though, right? Like, if you go look at his, his route chart, a lot of what he does pretty well are these medium to deeper inside breaking routes. And then what I find funny, though, Matt, is a 74% success rate versus slants. That's a little bit of a surprise to me. You would think, given kind of his, you know, twitchiness, that he'd be a better slant player, but obviously lacks a little bit of that, separation ability from the slant.
Yeah, and I think the big thing there is just, like, we talk a lot about, and I'm definitely, you know, big on this, that I don't want to typecast guys because of size, and I don't want to assume, like, oh, this size, whatever, like, he won't be able to do this. Marquise Brown's a small player, and they're there are some things in his game that the size shows up, right?
Okay.
He gets brought down on first contact a lot.
Yeah.
He's not good against press coverage. He's never been above 65% success rate versus press in any of his sampled five seasons. Like, this is a guy who's a zone beating receiver, like man press coverage. You just think about like a guy who's going to work in that tight confined space against man press coverage on a slant route. He's going to get gloved up a little bit in those situations. So there are, like I said, there are not, he's signing a 1 year prove it deal. Number one, he's signing this deal, 1 year, $7 million up to $11 million. He's signing with the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. Like, that is the Patrick Mahomes discount. I'm going to sign a prove it deal with the Chiefs, because if I have a big season with the Chiefs, I cash in next year as still a pretty young player in the league. But I mean, he's still signing a 1 year prove it deal because there are things he does need to prove. And that is part of it here.
Okay. So can you talk a little bit? I know he was, dealing with a lot of injuries and I mean, let's be real, at this point in his career, so many foot and just lower body ailments.
Yeah.
It's tough to see from this type of player. Although I will say this too, though, Matt, I am a little bit surprised, because his rookie year, he came out and gave you a 73.6% success rate versus man, which, by the way, that's pretty good, you know, an above average score. And now that's dipped by 10 percentage points, you know, to 62.6% in 2022, and then in 2023, an all-time low at 59% success rate versus man. So, I don't know. First of all, I don't think, and I've got the historical database in front of me, you don't see that often, really, where a guy gets this much worse against man coverage from his rookie year to where he is now.
Yeah, I think the 2 years that we're looking at here, the rookie year and then last year, feel like two outliers in terms of his career, where that, like, kind of 62.6% success rate versus man, those are kind of a little bit more like in line with his career, kind of what we should expect.
Okay.
because I think last year, outlier 59% because he was dealing with injury. Like, there's no question about that. At times, it was clearly a hamper to his game. The rookie year, though, like, you got to remember this was not a player that was really like a full-time guy, you know? He was still kind of used in part-time ways. 2019, Lamar Jackson's MVP season.
Yep.
He was not really like a full-time player yet. And then I think really like that kind of go, like it's shown in where they ended up using him, right? He ended up being more of kind of like an off-ball slot receiver. I think he probably will be a flanker slot type hybrid player in Kansas City as well.
Yeah.
So that's why that zone coverage number is more important for him, because I do think that the more you wanted to throw him out as like an outside receiver, I think the Ravens really struggled in that particularly.
So 19.7% of his snaps last year were on the nine route. That seems extraordinarily high, considering that his success rate on the nines was not that good, Matt. But when you're dealing with Patrick Mahomes, that number may improve. You know, those type of things might happen. So I don't know. I'm interested to see what Hollywood Brown brings to this Kansas City offense. Although, Matt, you talked about this a lot last year. They didn't really have a guy, even with Rashee Rice, they didn't have a guy that could consistently beat man coverage. And I think, again, they sign a guy that cannot consistently separate versus man. So in that way, I don't necessarily know if this fills a hole for Kansas City.
Well, I think it just fills a hole from an outside receiver perspective, and you're going to get a lot of zone coverage. Like, I'm looking back at the data right now from Fantasy Points data, only 25.7% of their snaps that they defensive passing snaps that they face man coverage.
You've pointed this out many times. It's when the man coverage happens that is also really important. Yeah, right.
Totally. Right. Critical down and distances. That's why it's like, okay, great. You sign Marquise Brown. You have Rashee Rice. You still need an X receiver. Like, that's why I think they can still – but similar with the Curtis Samuel discussion that we had last episode – now you don't have to come away in round one with like a clear cut day one, ready to start, ready to be like 120 targets off the bus type of receiver. Awesome if you can get one, you know, maybe like AD Mitchell, something like that. I don't think AD Mitchell's gonna follow the 32nd pick, but like, you know, you get an X receiver, that'd be great. But that player now, like, that player can be your fourth most targeted player, like, overall on the team. You know, and because you have Kelsey, because you have Rice, and you have Marquise Brown. But I do think that it's not that they're similar players at all, Rashee Rice and Marquise Brown. But if you look at like Rashee Rice's route chart from the rookie report, and obviously I haven't charted out his full season yet, but just from the rookie report, you know, 31% slant routes, 21.4% dig routes, definitely over the middle stuff. Marquise Brown, the routes that he's really good on, and I think the Cardinals used him a lot on those routes, like we mentioned, dig routes, but curl routes, post routes as well. So I don't think there's a pure overlap in these players' skill set. It's just like, it's clear what the Chiefs want to do. They want to dominate over the middle of the field, and we should want them to dominate over the middle of the field, because that is one of the most efficient areas that you can throw the ball in. That's where you're going to find a lot more consistent success than like pushing the ball to perimeter pass catchers, of which they do not really have a lot of good options there at the perimeter pass catcher spot. But yeah, so I think receiver is still a need for them. I like the way that Marquise Brown, probably your pure flanker, can do some slot stuff. Rashee Rice, mostly your power slot, but can also play a little bit of flanker. You just got to use them on the right routes. Based on what they did with Rashee Rice last year, I really trust them in Kansas City, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, that brain trust to figure out the right role for players. And I am pretty confident that they'll do that with Marquise Brown.
It's an upgrade over MVS, bottom line. And again, some of the speed stuff will be now available to them, because I just don't think they had a speed guy at all. To open up some of that Andy Reid offense at all. So we'll see, you know, play action could be a little bit more involved here too. And, you know, we know that all these teams are going too high, really across the board, but especially against KC, trying to get these guys to beat them underneath. And they're going to need a speed guy, man, to force some of that, to open up that middle of the field a little bit more, to get Kelsey and Rashee Rice involved, in turning a 10-yard gain into a 20-yard gain, you know? And those are the kind of plays that I think make a big difference in a football game. So I don't know. We'll see. Great signing for Kansas City. I think a smart, as you said, decision by Hollywood Brown. If he is going to sign a prove it deal, go to KC and get that happening with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, who, again, I totally agree with you, going to draw up some really interesting plays for Hollywood there. All right. So by the way, the Jerry Jeudy profile did drop on the site. If you guys want to go check it out, Marquise Brown is already on the site, receptionperception.com. And hopefully you guys have been able to check that out. But Jerry Jeudy has hit the site as well. I don't know. We've talked about Jerry Jeudy quite a bit here, but are there any kind of, you know, high level points that you wanted to make with Jerry Jeudy now that his official numbers are out on the board?
I mean, I think I've said a lot of what I have to say about Jerry Jeudy, which is just very inconsistent player. I think the like general consensus has moved on from saying he's like this elite route runner. I think we hammered that point in the offseason last year, and I think that was generally proven to be correct. You look at his data from this past season, like overall, it's pretty similar to what we got from Jerry Jeudy in 2022. We mentioned in 2022, 70.6% success rate versus man, but a 68.4% success rate versus zone. This past season in 23, new coaching staff, okay? Because we heard a lot of people saying like, nah, that was all Nate Hackett's fault, bad offense, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
New offense, Sean Payton, good play caller, route concepts make sense. 70.7% success rate versus man. 70.3% success rate versus zone. Like, it's a little bit better, but still 8th percentile success rate versus zone coverage. And, like, you cannot be a high-quality, consistent starting NFL receiver and have an 8th percentile success rate versus zone. Just doesn't happen. Not a thing. Happen. You go back in the historical database, not a lot of guys that were there for multiple seasons, like rookies. Okay, sure, we can let go of a rookie and like maybe he develops and grows and whatever. A George Pickens type, like we flagged mm-hmm. that, but I think George Pickens grew a little bit in year two. Jerry Jeudy has not just grown, he's not only just not grown, he's plateaued and even at times gotten worse against zone coverage from where he was. Like I go through the exercise of watching Jerry Jeudy play. Like I watch mm-hmm. the film and I understand some of his frustrations because there were definitely times last year where Sean Payton would scheme him wide ass open. I mean, so open. And some of it is, like I said, is very scheme based, but open is open and he's there. And it's these like over the middle routes. That's really where Jerry Jeudy, when he has run routes well, it's been slant routes and sometimes he's crossing routes and things like that. And he's just so open. He's over the middle of the field and Russell Wilson just doesn't see him. Doesn't see him. And you can see Jerry Jeudy get pissed. Yeah. Like I've put clips out on Twitter about it. I understand that frustration there, but it's also like, man, that was a connection where just like nobody was right. You know, Russ is not right. And Jerry Judy's not right. Like there's no heroes in that story basically.
Sure.
So,
right.
I find him to definitely be a very confounding and kind of like frustrating player. I think the strategy and approach that Cleveland has taken to getting these distressed asset wide receivers, you know, Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore. I appreciate the thought and I appreciate the exercise, but like there's a reason Jerry Jeudy fell out of favor in Denver. You know, Elijah Moore got himself fallen out of favor in the Jets because he was doing some stupid stuff. The Cowboys and Amari Cooper, a little bit more of a unique one. I'm not sure like how this room comes together. I have heard from people.
A lot more name than game right now in that room.
Totally.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
A lot more name than game. Jerry Jeudy's definitely more name than game. Mm-hmm. I have heard from some people that they think that Elijah Moore is going to play outside in this season, and then Jerry Jeudy's going to be a slot player. It's a little funny because I kind of think Jerry Jeudy operates best as a flanker because he's better at man coverage, like 63rd percentile against man coverage. That's pretty good. It's nothing special, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But then he's so bad against zone. Like, he might be better as a flanker than a slot.
Yeah, for sure.
But at the same time, like, I'd much rather see Elijah Moore run real receiver routes. So, like, I kind of think that would be better for them to put their, in my opinion, better player outside in Elijah Moore. So, and they'll probably do some alternating, all that stuff. So I kind of come away from the Jerry Jeudy profile thinking, like, you know, definitely a guy that has a role in the NFL, like, probably is a good, you know, three that can beat man coverage. It can win in certain situations, but it's so obvious why he has been an inconsistent producer so far, because he's just an inconsistent player. And, like, there's really no getting around that.
I don't even know if he's inconsistent. Is he just consistently bad? Is that,
I do want to be fair to Jerry Jeudy that, like, he has, he does have moments where if he's put in the right position, he's just not this, like, crispy good route runner, like this technician. Like, he's got quick feet, and he's got he's got quick feet like that, and explosive movements at times. He just doesn't know, like, he is not a good technician. He doesn't run things well and on time. There's no deception to his game. There's no rhythm to his route running. It's a lot of just, like, chaotic, frenetic movements that just don't really do anything for you as an actual NFL player. But when he's put in the right position, when he's able to, you know, I think on these play action plays in the Browns offense, that's going to be really interesting, because he's going to be kind of running against, you know, soft off coverage.
Yeah.
And those guys might be looking in the backfield, you know, on that play action stuff. And we saw how successful that play action offense can be with, like, Joe Flacco and Amari Cooper. We'll see with Deshaun Watson, obviously. Cleveland's just really hard to get their head around, because it's a lot of players that, beyond Amari Cooper, I don't know if I can, like, set my watch to. Definitely can't do that with Watson. Definitely can't do that with Jerry Jeudy. And Elijah Moore, I like Elijah Moore, but he's a little bit of an enigma too. So it's just I'm not quite sure how this team all sorts itself out. Beyond Amari Cooper and David Njoku, just not a lot of reliability in this offense. Jerry Jeudy, like, whether I think whether he's consistently he's inconsistent or he's just consistently not good, whatever, however you want to phrase it, he is definitely the picture of a non-reliable receiver.
And again, also, what's going to be happening with the run game? You know, when they had Nick Chubb and doing all those things, you know, and Nick Chubb was just, you know, terrorizing, you know, linebackers and secondary players. I get it. First of all, I love Stefanski's run system. Love it. You know, we got some things working here. You talk about, you know, is there anything that you can say this is going to be the direction this offense goes? I cannot point to it. I know they want to pass the ball. They want to. I mean, they drafted Cedric Tillman last year in the third round. I think he's an interesting player with some interesting upside there. They've got Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy. We're talking about, you know, first, second round guys. So, look, they're just trying to throw it, throw everything at this passing game to see what sticks. And quite frankly, I don't know if this is a team that has that kind of time. They're playing it almost, Matt, where they're like, hey, this is like a 2-3 year plan. God, it's not there. They need to win next year, period. Bottom line, they need to win next year. And if they don't win, they need to look good. Okay? Because, man, this is a team that looked straight up bad a lot of different times this season. You know, beyond the Joe Flacco December craze, okay? Like, this team looked, I mean, just flat as all get out, you know? So, I don't know. This is a team that needs to win in 2024. It's not a two-year plan. They got to win, and they got to win right now. So, it's interesting. It's an interesting roster build for me there in Cleveland. So, I don't know. We'll see if it works, you know? They're taking a lot of gambles on a lot of different players, but to your point, man, I just don't see somebody in there where you're like, yeah, this is the identity of the Cleveland offense, you know?
Yeah, when you lose Nick Chubb, obviously you lose some of that, but I do think their identity is their defense. The problem is we know that defense is volatile year to year. Like, if they don't have – fans get pissed at this every single season because they, like, think they're going to be the one that just runs back a historical defense. But you just typically don't do that, right? We don't, we don't see that. There's some volatility on that side of the ball, which is why offense is more stable. But offense is their problematic side, and, like, I think – the identity can be Amari Cooper and David Njoku. Like, ultimately, the Elijah Moore, the Jerry Jeudy, the Cedric Tillman of it all, like, these guys should be supporting characters in an otherwise really good productive offense. It just comes back to quarterback play, man. Like, Kevin Stefanski's a good coach, great scheme. I love the way that they bring Mike Vrabel on as, like, a consultant, because I think Vrabel can bring a different edge to that, like, coaching room than maybe what Kevin Stefanski does. And I think it's good for Vrabel. I think it's good for Stefanski. I don't see it as, like, a threat to Stefanski. I think it's just making a – no, not at all. Not at all. I think Stefanski's pretty secure there because I think everybody can obviously see what's going on with Watson. I mean, there's definitely a chance that if that all flames out, they all get fired. But, like, they're not going to be like, all right, Kevin Stefanski, you're out of here. We're promoting Mike Vrabel. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So
it doesn't?
No.
Oh, Matt, I don't know, man. This feels like one of those Doc Rivers to the Milwaukee Bucks situation where they're like, yeah, you're a consultant, bro, until we don't like Stefanski anymore. And it's like, oh, yeah, can you consult us, a head coach? And Vrabel's like, yeah, it's me. It's like, yeah, all right, cool, let's go with it.
I just feel like I just feel like Stefanski's such a good coach, you know? I mean, he's clearly, like, part of what's right in Cleveland.
He was on such a hot seat last year, though. You know, so I don't know. It's
I know. And then you remove the quarterback, you give him functional quarterback play, and the offense looks great. I mean, not perfect, because Flacco's turning the ball over all the time, but it's just like, we all know what the problem is in Cleveland.
Yes.
And it's just hard to get around that.
I agree. I totally agree. Does the ownership feel like that, though? Yeah. Does ownership agree? I don't know. Anyways, hey, the Vikings traded the 42nd and 188th pick in the 2024 draft for a second, and a second rounder in 2025 to the Texans. They basically got an extra first round pick to the Minnesota Vikings, right? So obviously there's a lot of first of all, I don't know how this all started, Matt. This whole Justin Jefferson to Cincinnati thing, the Jamar Chase cryptic wide receiver tweet. What's going on here with Minnesota? What the hell is going on with Minnesota, man?
Well, number one, the Justin Jefferson, like, trade rumors, people need to shut up and like go outside, man. I mean, I am like losing my mind over here that we are in the middle of March in free agency. Uh-huh. Like, yo, it ain't May. It's not early June. It's not like the doldrums of the NFL offseason. And you have people that want to purport themselves as to be serious people on the internet, like throwing out like, what if Justin Jefferson was traded from the Vikings? What if Justin Herbert was the Justin Herbert from the Chargers one is like ultra hilarious, as if the reason that Jim Harbaugh didn't want to leave Michigan to come to the NFL was to coach Justin Herbert. Like the reason he doesn't get the only reason to go to the Chargers is Justin Herbert. And you know what the first thing? Right. Yeah, he's never going to train. He's going to train Justin Herbert so he can draft JJ McCarthy. Shut up. Like, what are we? It's like I said, it's March. Like, there are real transactions happening. Free agency is alive and well. Argue about draft prospects for God's sakes. Like, save the Justin Jefferson, Justin Herbert trade rumors for May.
For May, June.
Not happening.
100%. Yep. You're
May,
right.
June.
You're right.
Do it then. Get your engagement. Yep. Like, farm that engagement then. Okay. Like that.
Farm that engagement then.
Save. Wow. Leave the real football talk to us in March. Okay. Leave the serious God. People who, you know, say they're alive because Curtis Samuel signed the very serious people.
The very serious people.
But anyways, I had to get it off my chest.
Oh my God.
I do think it's interesting with the Vikings that they are so desperate. I mean, downright thirsty to get on the rookie quarterback contract timeline because they lose Kirk Cousins. That was part of it. Obviously, then they go and buy. They get a first round pick here. They lose 2 second round picks, which I mean isn't nothing. You know, 42nd this year, a second rounder in 2025 to get another first rounder, the 23rd overall pick from the Texans. I think that's interesting from the Texans' perspective that they're, you know, getting out of the first round here, but recouping capital because I think, hey, we're just taking bites at the apple because we got CJ Stroud. Like, that makes sense for them.
Right.
But for Minnesota, this is obviously a precursor to another move here, right? I guarantee it. Like, this is not the last first round pick. This is not the last first round trade we're going to see from the Minnesota Vikings this year. Yeah. But is there a grand master plan to get into the top three? Because I mean, Chicago's not moving. You don't think Washington's moving at two?
No.
New England at three? I mean, I think that's possible.
Yeah.
But then if you don't get that done, are you moving heaven and earth just to like get, then you're the JJ McCarthy?
I don't get it.
I don't know. Yeah, right. I mean, we've seen this go wrong for teams before, right? Trey Lance. And, you know, that was a much more ready-made situation to drop a quarterback into. And obviously, Trey Lance just wasn't good enough to get it done. Mm-hmm. So I think Minnesota is such a fascinating team to talk about and think about right now because love the coaching staff, think the front office is good for the most part. And they've got good players. Right, like they have Justin Jefferson, who they're going to give a monster extension to because they're going to be on the rookie quarterback contract timeline. You know, Jordan Addison's a nice player. They have T.J. Hockenson, he's coming back from injury. Brian Flores is great with the defense. Like, this looks like a situation where you can drop a rookie quarterback into it.
Sure.
But are you trading up all this to then get like to the fourth best quarterback and you starting Sam Darnold for half the year? Your boy Sam Darnold. I can't wait to see what your bold prediction on Sam Darnold is in August.
I got nothing.
You got your boy Sam Darnold in there for half the year, and then J.J. McCarthy for half the year. Minnesota feels so interesting to like think about right now where they go from here.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of moving pieces and where they end up with that trade if they try to move up in the first round, which, I'd be surprised if they don't try to make that move. I think it's top three or bust for them, honestly, to be honest with you. To make that move at four or five doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. I don't know. We'll see. By the way, Rondale Moore, speaking of quarterback movement here, traded straight up for Desmond Ridder. We very rarely see a player for player swap, but Atlanta and Arizona make this deal. Desmond Ridder goes to Arizona. Rondale Moore goes to Atlanta. I don't really care that much about Rondale Moore, but I do think that it's interesting what Atlanta is doing now with their wide receivers, whereas last year they had Drake London and nobody, and maybe you could still make a snarky joke about that, but they go sign Darnell Mooney, and then they trade for Rondale Moore. It's a much more professional-looking wide receiver room here with Drake London, Darnell Mooney, and Rondale Moore.
Yeah, it still feels like they need one more guy, right?
They do.
Like,
they do. They do.
If they took, a Roma Dunze, I mean, I'm just going to keep saying, like, all these good teams should take Roma Dunze because that guy's such a good player. Please, God, if you're listening, don't let Roma Dunze end up being Daniel Jones' wide receiver one in New York.
Oh, my God.
Please. Please.
Well, we'll see.
Anyway, we'll see.
Okay, we'll see. Might be there.
But with the Falcons specifically, like, they definitely need another, like, outside receiver, in my opinion, because one thing I thought, going away from Drake London's charting profile, I'm going to do a whole YouTube video on this, so we don't need to break this down on the show. Just definitely look forward to that, or, you know, go read the damn profile. But I'll have some, like, visuals to show this. His route tree last year was a little less middle of the field oriented than it should have been, especially in an Arthur Smith offense. Like, his curl route rate jumped really high from year one to year two because, like, he's been almost exclusively an X receiver. And, like, Drake London can play X receiver, and he's one of the, I think, the best young up and coming X receivers in the game right now. Like, he might be my top pick if I'm talking about it's like pure big body X's. Mm-hmm. But he's also a guy that I think can move around slot flanker type stuff and get used on some of those, kind of like in a Michael Pittman type of way as an off ball receiver. I think there's some overlap there. But if you do that right now with the Falcons depth chart, it's like, well, you're not throwing Darnell Mooney at X receiver. You're probably closer to playing Rondale Moore at running back than X receiver.
Right.
So they could use one more guy there to allow them some flexibility with these players, because I think Mooney is like a three, and I think Rondale Moore is like a pure gadget player. If you could talk me into, like, what's interesting about these two guys, which one of them are going to be used on, like, those pre-snap motion plays, like the full speed motion plays? Because you would think, I thought it was going to be Darnell Mooney, and, like, he has the speed to do that, like, be kind of a, get excited by this sentence, but be a souped up Tutu Atwell for, like, what the Rams had last year. But, wow. I mean, is Rondale Moore going to be that, like, pre-snap motion guy? Because that excites me a little bit less, but it would fit into kind of the gadgety type of receiver role that I think he fits in.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It certainly feels like Darnell Mooney. First of all, Chicago played Mooney in the slot a lot last year, which I thought didn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense. Played about 60% of his snaps out of the slot in 2023. Played about 50% there in 2022. And then I think it was his breakout season in 2021, again, this was his second year in the league. In 2021, he had 1,000 yards, 1,055 through the air. And he did garner 140 targets on a Chicago team that was obviously pretty bad. But that was a year, that was a year where he played about 55% of his snaps out wide, right? So again, was more of an outside player than an inside player. I don't know. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but when I look at Mooney, I see because of the speed and all those things, I see a guy that's, should be playing flanker in the NFL. I definitely don't see him as like a slot guy that's going to, win on these, slant routes or whatever it might be. That, to me, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So maybe they're thinking Drake London at the X, Mooney, outside of flanker. And then again, Rondale Moore is kind of this everywhere guy, gadget dude.
I think so, which again just seems to me like you you could even use – like, that's what's nice is you could get a slot. You could get a flanker. And I think – I do like Mooney as a vertical slot option. You know, not a full-time slot player, but, yeah, sort of that 60-40 split makes sense to me. So that would kind of be where I'm thinking with him. So you get a guy that could play outside. He could be a speed-based Z or slot. And, you know, they gave him a lot of money, but I think that's fine. You know, this is they needed bodies at wide receiver. I mean, that receiver depth chart beyond Drake London was completely barren. And they didn't really have a lot of players that flashed for them at any point the last few years. So I understand, like, and hey, Desmond Ridder, you got to get him out of the building. Like, you just, you can't have Desmond Ridder in the building after you get Kirk Cousins. Not too dissimilar to what I thought about with Justin Fields in our previous episode, where you just can't have that guy around to a lesser degree, because I think, you know, Desmond Ridder's not even as good as Justin Fields, obviously, but everybody would tell, everybody really likes Desmond Ridder. They really value like his leadership and all that type of stuff. Every Falcons player I've talked to has said that, you know, to a man. You just can't have that guy around. You give him a fresh start and you just get a receiver body in there in Rondale Moore. Now, I don't think he's a real receiver. I think he's a gadget player, but at least interesting on some of those pre-snap motion plays.
I'll tell you this, at least Atlanta's going out there and trying to add some speeds, add some explosion, explosiveness to their offense too. And again, I'm with you. I'm not saying that they're done at wide receiver. I'm just saying that they've added some pieces that, you know, are a little bit more explosive. We talk about the speed. Darnell Mooney ran a 4.38. Rondale Moore ran a sub 4.3. I think he ran a 4.28, something crazy fast.
He's like 5'7", 160 pounds. He better.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
right.
Exaggerating, but still.
No, I don't think you're that far off. By the way, I think he also had like a 41-inch vertical, so the dude can jump out the freaking building. Anyways, a fantastic athlete is Rondale Moore. There's no question. And Mooney has flashed a lot of speed, not just at the combine, but in his professional career as well. So they've certainly added explosiveness to the offense. We'll see if any of that, you know, I guess kind of sort of pans out. They need to add another receiver. I'm not saying they don't, but it is good, I think, anyways, that Atlanta has certainly added depth and much, much needed depth to the wide receiver room. So for that, at least I applaud their efforts there. You know what I mean?
For sure. And obviously we're never charting tight ends at reception. I'm never charting tight ends at reception. Perception, I should say.
Okay. Yeah.
Your favorite tight end charting expert, get him on the phone. Have him
hit us up.
Come work with us.
All right. Make it happen.
But you know, Kyle Pitts definitely a guy that can move around the formation too.
Right.
So
yeah.
Like, we have to account for that when we're talking about Falcons pass catchers. You know, beyond sort of the obvious. They also added Ray McLeod, who's like another kind of gadgety, smally, speedy type of guy too.
Right.
They've definitely cornered the market on like speed type small receivers beyond one of the biggest wideouts in the league in Drake London. So it feels like another receiver move is coming. Maybe another tight end move is coming. So then Kyle Pitts can just be more of like full time pass catcher type. But yeah, man, the Falcons definitely have made some receiver moves that were absolutely needed after what their depth chart looked like at the end of the season.
It was so bad. It was so bad last year. By the way, we didn't even mention Bijan Robinson, special player out of the backfield too. True. He's going to garner a lot of targets as well. All right. Anyways, okay. So enough of the Falcons here. You've done a lot of your charting here for some of these free agents and obviously some of these trade moves that have happened here, Matt Harmon. But your attention now is now going to be looking at prospects for the very near future.
Yeah, man. We are full on to the draft here at Reception Perception on the podcast, on the site. So starting March 25th, earlier than ever, prospects are going to be dropping on the site. It will definitely be the top three: Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze. Can't wait to get those full profiles out. We'll definitely talk about them on the show, of course, but also looking to drop at least one, maybe two more guys on March 25th. And then every single week leading up to the draft, we're going to drop a few profiles a week, man.
I love it.
It's exciting. I can't wait to just kind of, obviously, you know, every now and again, I'll get comments like, we don't need you to chart the top guys. Like, we know who's... It's like, no. Number one, I'm going to do it for me because I need to know. This is all part of my prep with players. But, you know, people are definitely really interested, and I'm super interested in, as well, to find out about, like, A.D. Mitchell and Troy Franklin and Ricky Pearsall.
Right.
I'm really interested in Ricky Pearsall. I'll say that. So, real fun stuff coming up here with prospects being dropped on the site very soon.
Conkey is going to be an interesting player too. Roman Wilson, interesting player. This wide receiver class is so stacked, bro. It's so stacked, man. This is great. I love it. Last year was a little bit of a down year at wide receiver in the draft. This year, baby. Oh, let's go. This year, it's so stacked at wide receiver, and there's so many great players, really interesting players across the board, and I can't wait to dig into some of these profiles. Receptionperception.com. By the way, okay, it's not just wide receiver prospects. We're hitting these quarterback prospects as well. We've got a bunch of quarterback prospects on the site right now. We got four of the top guys are up on the site as we are speaking, breathing here today. So go to receptionperception.com. Our guy, Derek Klassen, a.k.a. QB Class, doing a great job charting those guys. But anyways, receptionperception.com. Go check it out. And if you're still with us on the podcast, go ahead and rate and review too, man. That would help us considerably move up the rankings and do all those kind of things and motivate us to pump out more content. So there you go. That is it, man. We're going to catch you guys next week. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you. And remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. Peace.